The news keeps rolling in. Here's another one for you. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says the illegal Jewish occupation of Syrian land is forever. Well, no one can ever say they don't steal. They're going to try and take as much of Syria as they can, believe it. So that's why tanks are moving in now, according to reports we have. They're not verified fully yet, but it's probable. They've been trying to kill Al-Qaeda and the other groups who were allegedly united in overthrowing the government of Assad there. This was in the works for some time. But the Israelis are now bombing and trying to kill all of them so they can move in there with their own Israeli defense forces and take control of Syria from the Euphrates River to the Nile. That's greater Israel. You're seeing it right now. And Trump is going to back that with every ounce in his body. Count on it. No doubt. He is a Zionist puppet. Period. We knew that. It's not a surprise. The rest of the Syrian story, confusion right now, the perfect time for the Jewish state to move in and do everything it can to take control. And they're going to. Dozens of airstrikes today with American planes and American bombs. Nonstop. Mitchell Henderson is here, and we're going to talk to Mitch and hear his view on things in Syria and the Middle East and elsewhere as we continue our third hour tonight. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome back. How are you?
Hello. Hello. So, listen, I should start out by making something. I think I need to really start out by saying this, okay?
Go ahead.
Whether it's NATO or it's BRICS, whether it's the United States or it's Russia or it's China, doesn't matter who it is. It is the global elite is behind that, and the global elite is a Zionist organ. Okay, so the world that we live in, the world that we're, that our daily consciousness is a Jewish constructed consensus. Reality.
It's all a Jewish construct. Our reality is a Jewish construct.
Everything
right.
That the news tells you, everything that the government tells you is a lie, okay? It's meant to confuse you. It's meant to upset you. It's meant to mislead you, okay? That's what it's all for, okay? One of the ways they do this is they tell you everything in sort of a cause and effect way, but the cause is just what happened yesterday, okay? And you can't look at just what happened yesterday or a week before. You've got to go back. Causation is a cumulative thing of many things happening that creates what you see, the results. So the narrative that I see everywhere, and listen, even people, when you hear the term conspiracy theory, I want you to keep in mind that the Central Intelligence Agency has an organ that pumps out conspiracy theories by the billion, okay? It's not just us. It is them. They put them out, too. They're all meant to distract you, to mislead you, okay? They're very active in this. They're not stupid. They run the gamut of everything, okay? So when you're trying to figure something out, you really have to look at the big picture, okay? Because even to say the term Jewish constructed consensus reality, that's a very big picture construct of the reality we live in, okay? You'll never see it by looking at the parts. You kind of have to look at the big picture, okay? So what I want to do is I want to tell you what happened in Syria, okay?
Okay.
To understand what happened in Syria, we should start with what Turkey wanted, okay? Erdogan and his AKP party wanted a resurgence of the power and influence of the Ottoman Empire in the Middle East. Turkey has continued friendly relations with Russia and Iran in spite of the sanctions put on them by the West. Trade is good and tourists travel freely. You see, America has sanctioned Turkey, even though Turkey is a NATO ally. Turkey knows we don't really have their back. America is only a friend if you obey them, even against your own interests. Mm-hmm. Actually, any Turk would tell you this. Americans may not be aware of it, but the Turks are aware of it, okay? Turkey was not allowed to join the EU, although thoroughly corrupt Ukraine is invited in. It is an ethnic thing. Turks are not Europeans. Turkey wants a good economy. They want to live a good life. Since the EU is not an option, BRICS is the route they must take. But can Turkey, a NATO member, be trusted to join BRICS? Turkey has been meeting with Iran, Iraq, and Russia at Astana and with the Arab nations at Doha for the past few months. This is the picture they're not really talking about. This is a big picture. Okay, this is where Turkey fits in. Okay, what you're seeing is Turkey's moment in the world. They're not telling you that, but that's what this is. Okay, Turkey wants a more stable Middle East for the sake of its economy. The Turkish economy would benefit from abundant, reliable, and cheap fuel. It is interested in a Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, Turkey, Bulgaria pipeline for unsanctioned fuel. Also, an Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey pipeline for sanctioned fuel. Everyone was good with this except Assad. This, in addition to the Russia-Turkey pipeline of sanctioned fuel. Cheaper fuel means cheaper everything to the Turkish consumer. And a stronger economy for Turkey. Turkey has heavy industry that is heavily reliant on cheap energy. Also, Iraq is the fourth largest importer of Turkish exports. Turkey would like the M5 highway from the Turkish border to Amman, Jordan, to open so they could export goods to Jordan by road and hopefully expand into Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, UAE, and Oman by having a viable and stable land route. Highway M5 goes straight from the Turkish country through Aleppo, Hama, Homs, Damascus, right down on into Amman, Jordan. Okay, it's a good highway. Okay, they already trade with Russia and Iran. Turkey's largest import partners are China and Russia. Politically, what Turkey wants most is to stop Kurdish terrorism. Iran and Turkey already cooperate on this, and Iraq wants to be a steady player also. The final key is to stabilize Syria so they can bring the Kurds in Syria under control. Kurdish terrorism is very destabilizing to Turkey. The United States and Israel are the only major supporters of Kurdish terrorism. Without U.S. and Israeli aid, Kurdish terrorism would dry up. The United States supports the Kurds, especially the Marxist Kurds, in order to destabilize Turkey and keep it poor and weak, just like the U.S. government does to American citizens. If it wants to rule you, it's got to keep you poor and weak. Turkey would also like to be included as the third pillar of resistance to Zionism. Palestine is the first pillar, and Iran is the second. If Turkey controlled Syria, it could be the third pillar. It could send armored divisions down M5 to arrive in the Golan Heights quickly. They asked Assad if he would allow them, and Assad refused. Assad was standing in the way of an effective anti-Zionist policy. However, the most important military objective of Turkey is to combine with its neighbors, Russia and Iran, to have the most power and influence in the region. This is to replace American-Israeli power, which keeps the Middle East in a perpetual state of war. There will never be peace in the region as long as America is involved. You see, Israel cannot exist without the United States. Turkey has the second biggest military in NATO after the United States. Only Turkey and the United States have militaries of any consequence in NATO. An attack on Turkey is an attack on NATO. NATO protects Turkey from any direct attacks by Greece or Israel. The Turkish military is the 11th largest in the world with 425,000 active and 380,000 reservists. It is the second largest in NATO and the second largest in the Middle East after Iran. I have trained with the Turkish Army.
Question.
Okay,
question.
Yes.
How loyal to NATO is Turkey?
Well,
they're a member state. How loyal are they? They probably tell NATO to take a hike in a New York second if they didn't like what was being forced on them. This is a Muslim nation.
No, No, there's something bigger than that. Okay.
Okay.
This is.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to it, but there's a very big advantage for Turkey to be in NATO. Okay.
Take your
the Turkish.
Time.
I've trained with the Turkish Army. Personally, I think they are masters at field artillery. Their field artillery is just great. Okay.
Interesting.
Their infantry are vicious and tenacious fighters. Turkey has advantages that neither Iran or Russia has that makes them an essential player in the Middle Eastern politics and influence. Iran has the ninth largest military in the world. It has 610,000 active and 350,000 reservists. However, it also has 20 million trained militiamen to protect the homeland. Russia now has the second largest military in the world after China. Has 1.5 million active duty and 2 million reservists. Conscripts in Russia are trained to be reservists. Okay, they're not active soldiers that are sent off to war. They're trained. They're being trained to be reservists. What we call enlisted men, the Russians call contract soldiers. Russia also has the largest and most advanced nuclear forces in the world. Turkey is not an American puppet and does not want to be. What Turkey and Iran and Russia has been talking about in Astana is forming a triumvirate of three mutually respecting powers to influence the region where they live, not to conquer it, but to stabilize it. That means to curtail American and Israeli destabilizing operations in the region, an anti-Zionist league, if you will. This does not mean that any of the three is the boss. But they are all three equal powers that work together in consensus to influence the events in their neighborhood. Russia has been trying since 2019 to convince Assad to talk to Erdogan to make Turkey's plan for the area come to fruition. But Assad would not budge. Iran and Russia were trying to push Assad to cooperate. He would not. When Turkey turned the Syrian National Army and the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham loose to attack Assad, Iran and Russia were hoping that Assad would come to terms with Turkey, who could have stopped it. But Assad was unchanging, and Iran and Russia ultimately refused to back Assad because he would not deal with Turkey.
I wonder I wonder what his problem was, Mitch. I mean, that if he had it to do over again, I wonder what he would do. That's pretty stupid.
Well, I think in retrospect, he probably knows by now he should have compromised and made a deal.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because, see, Turkey didn't want to rule Syria. They just wanted to cooperate with him. And Assad wasn't having any of it. Okay.
Right.
Finally, Iran and Russia advised Assad to flee. Assad was standing in the way of Iran, Russia, and Turkey's strategy for the Middle East. I've already detailed what Turkey wanted. Iran wanted stability in the neighborhood, and Russia wanted to keep its south front open. For Russia and Iran, this means that the region is not under control of the United States and Israel. Assad was a block to that happening. At Astana, Russia and Iran had to come to trust Turkey. They need to trust Turkey anyways if it is to join BRICS. Erdogan kept trying to tell Assad to talk with him, but Assad would not. Erdogan gave Assad the chances right up to when HTS was falling upon Damascus. HTS could not have succeeded without Russia and Iran pulling its support for Assad. That's why it happened so fast, people. This was a long plan for Erdogan. He bagged the HTS in Idlib. He armed and equipped them. He trained HTS and made them into a disciplined military force with good NCOs and officers. The United States poured millions of dollars into this effort, as did Israel and the United Kingdom. They did it to destabilize Syria, tie Russian forces down in Syria, and open another Ukrainian front in Syria. HTS and Turkey knows this, but took the money and supplies and put it to good use. See, the United States, Israel, and Ukraine didn't think that they were going to overthrow Assad. They just thought they were going to cause trouble and destabilize Syria. They didn't think this was going to happen. The United States even hooked HTS up with the Ukrainian HUR, military intelligence, to help build and operate the HTS drone program. HTS on the battlefield was a disciplined and well-coordinated force. The soldiers had proper uniforms with standardized equipment. The infantry had night vision scopes. The Turks did the same with Islamic mercenary troops. There was a battalion of Chinese Uyghur field artillery and a battalion of Chechen field artillery. This was no ragtag Islamic terrorist group with all troops thrown together and making wave attacks. These were skilled, well-trained, and disciplined soldiers working in combined arms operation. It was impressive. I actually was able to see detailed reports on the HCS in action, the tactics, the strategy, the troops, the training, everything.
Chechens and Uyghurs.
Chechens and Uyghurs, yes.
Now, the Uyghurs, a lot of Uyghurs live in Western China. That's pretty much their original homeland.
That's their area. But there's a whole battalion of them in the artillery. See, instead of mixing all these people together, they have a Chechen artillery battalion, Uyghur artillery battalion. Okay, because
Who backed this? Is this the Russians pretty much control Chechnya? So the Turks, I guess the Russians turned it over to the Turks. Have at it.
Yes.
Do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Interesting.
They sure did. Okay, and of course, the United States, Israel, and Ukraine gave them help and assistance, too. Okay, but the real military background training and discipline came from the Turks. This is like 5 years in the making, okay? He also shepherded the HCS political wing, the Salvation Government, into a disciplined administrative apparatus. The Western press mocked the HCS as woke jihadists because they spoke of the strength of their diversity. This is a very shallow understanding. This was an explicit Turkey-Russian requirement. Whoever rules Syria would have to practice political unity and uphold the territorial integrity of Syria. Listen, this is the key thing that came out of Astana. The people that were going to run Syria were going to practice political unity and uphold the territorial integrity of Syria. This is the central thing of Russian, Turkish, Iranian cooperation. Okay, this is central. They would have to combat terrorism in all forms, which means no Kurdish terrorists, okay? And we're not permit separatist actors in the country. Once again, Kurds were in mind, okay? Assad was not, in fact, making this happen. He was not focusing on this. Turkey had groomed a much better leader for Syria, Abu Mahab Mohammed al-Jolani. After the HCS and Syrian National Army broke forth to attack Aleppo, everyone was helping. Israel bombed Assad's army and Hezbollah to help the HCS. Russian aircraft and Iranian artillery were attacking the HCS as they came close to Aleppo. The Russians and Iranians pressed Assad to deal with Erdogan. He refused to even talk to Erdogan. As the HCS approached Homs, the Russians, Iran, and Hezbollah informed Assad that they were not going to fight for him anymore. He still would not talk to Erdogan. As HCS approached him.
That's crazy.
I don't know. He's a dictator. He's done everything he wanted his whole life, okay?
Yeah, I guess.
As HCS approached Damascus, they advised Assad to run. He did. Hayat Tahrir al-Sham basically won a quick victory to unite Syria because they were supported by everyone. The United States, the United Kingdom, Israel, Ukraine supported HCS in order to destabilize Syria and distract Russia. Turkey supported HCS to finally deal with the Kurdish terrorism problem, to win a place at the table of the anti-Zionist resistance, and to join with Russia and Iran as a power player in the Middle East. They also wanted to resume trade with Jordan and the Arab nations. Iran, Hezbollah, and Russia supported HCS so that stability would come to Syria and the northern Middle East. Mm-hmm. Iraq supported HCS to end all threats coming from Syrian soil and to stabilize the northern Middle East. Some may ask, what are my sources? Let me tell you, not the U.S. government, our media, or our so-called experts. They are still groping in the dark. My sources are, and I'm telling you my sources because, you know, people, you should look at this. When there's something happening in a country anywhere, you should look at the news of that country, of the surrounding countries, and of the major players in that country, okay? Because our media and our government's never going to tell you anything. That's why in my book, The Final War is How to Survive the Coming Civil War in America, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization, one of the main differences between my book and other survival books is I tell you the enemy's point of view. I tell you the point of view of China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, BRICS,
Mitch, hold on. Mitchell is not exaggerating here. It is so important to have someone to read his book, as an example, who understands both sides. You have to understand your enemy. If you don't understand your enemy, you can't really mount a reasonable defense. You have to know what they're thinking, how they think, what they're thinking. And the enemy can, of course, be constituted from people you know if they disagree with you politically. You have to understand all this. Mitch's book is peerless when it comes to giving you the big picture. It's a fabulous book. It's a must book.
Well, this is also so that you know for yourself when to run. If you listen to our government and you listen to our news media, you will be sitting comfortably at your home when the nuke falls on you.
Dead duck.
It will come as a surprise to you. Because, see, when you hear the American president say what we're going to do in China or Russia or somewhere else, you know they're going to tell you, oh, this is how Russia or China is going to react. That is bullshit. Okay, and the only way you're going to know how China is going to react or how Russia is going to react is if you understand their point of view. And our government and our press will never, ever tell you their point of view.
Oh, no. No.
So that's how you know. That's intelligence for survival. How you know when to run. How you know when you better get out of town, okay? Because you need to do that for yourself. So what I'm going to tell you right now is, where I got my information on Syria. So my sources are Al Jazeera, Iraqi News, Jordan Times, Mahanet Lebanon News, the Tehran Times, Iran International News, the Daily Sabah of Turkey, Hurriyet, Turkey, and the TRT Watch, Turkey. They are all in English and are available on the Internet. I'm telling you that you should not bother listening to our news. Read their news like a detective. Do a meta-analysis of their news because it's propaganda also from their point of view. Keep in mind that they live there, so they are not so much in the dark. They are closer to the truth because they're living there where it's happening. Okay. Let me suggest also Al-Manar News. This is Hezbollah News. They did a detailed analysis of the Syria war at HTS on December 8th. It is a great, great news article, and that's directly from Hezbollah. Okay, search YouTube. I found videos of Iranian college professors, Palestinian activists, and of course Daniel Davis and Douglas McGregor. Okay, my results are not from a single source, but through open source intelligence analysis that I learned to do at Fort Bragg back in 1986 during the Cold War. I can tell you who does not do this, Donald Trump and his experts, because their interpretation of this is that Russia and Iran just got weaker. They think they have won something. They think they have an advantage. They are walking into a trap. Things are about to get much worse for them. Syria will be stronger, not weaker. What was the HTS solution to Syria? First, to deal with the religious and ethnic minorities, HTS proposed a federal Syria where the religious minorities like the Alawites and Druze and the ethnic minorities like the Kurds could have self-governing provinces. This is what they've always wanted. Why not give it to them? If you want peace, no attacks would be launched from Syrian territories into Western nations. HTH Salvation Government would guarantee all foreign embassies, consulates, citizens, and interests in Syria. This would be good for Russia, Iran, Iraq, and Hezbollah. They will not be attacking any Russian military installations or diplomatic property. They are already attacking U.S.-backed Free Syria Army posts in northeastern Syria. The Turkish-backed Syrian National Army have already taken the Tel Rifat area from the Kurds and have already taken most of Sinan Beach from the Kurds. Now, this is not just the Syrian National Army, which is a better trained army now than it was before. It's Turkish trained. This is Turkish tanks and Turkish soldiers attacking U.S.-backed Kurds in northern Syria now. Okay, This is happening now. Is our press telling you this? Is our media telling you this?
No, not a word, nothing.
You know? The Kurds will have to join the new Syria or will be attacked by it. The USA will have to get out of Syria altogether. Nobody ever invited them in. The Russians have not been told to leave. They signed a 50-year lease for the Tartus Navy base and Latakia Air Force Base in 2017. This means, people, that the Russians pay money to be there. The Americans take shit. We don't give them anything. Okay. Syria is still concerned with an Israeli invasion. America protects the Sunni Arab nations against Israel. Keep in mind that this is exactly what created al-Qaeda, U.S. troops on Arab soil. Russia protects Iran, from Israel attack. Who will protect Syria from an Israeli attack? Turkey? But Turkey is not a nuclear power like the U.S. and Russia. The situation is not settled. It has just become more complicated with a brand new player, Turkey. Netanyahu claimed that he overthrew Assad. The disgusting old pedophile Joe Biden claimed that he overthrew Assad. In fact, Erdogan of Turkey overthrew Assad. The American press is saying that this is a defeat for Russia and Iran. It was not. It was just a victory for Turkey. A win for Turkey is not a win for the United States or Israel. What we are seeing is the emergence of Turkey as a viable regional power. Turkey could not have won without the cooperation of Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah. Iran and Russia will back off Syria because they are ceding it to Turkey, not to the West. Some are saying that Iran will fall next. That is crazy. There is no comparison in the conditions of Syria and in Iran. They're nothing alike. Okay? They say this because they think the Arab Spring and color revolution has occurred in Syria. That is not the case, and Iran is not next, like they want to assume. Israel has already invaded the buffer zone on the Golan Heights to occupy the Syrian army positions and has moved into Syria proper, occupying new lands. Jordan, Qatar, and Egypt have already protested these illegal land grabs that are illegal under an international law. Israel is already bombing Syria, including populated areas. They say they are bombing chemical weapons sites. The world already knows all the Syrian chemical weapons stories are bullshit. But they bring them up to justify blowing up innocent women and children. They are already attacking the regime that Netanyahu said he put into power. That is a very strange thing to do. A war could start now between Syria and Israel. The HTS are no slouches. They are a well-trained and disciplined army. This is not al-Qaeda or ISIS. These are regular soldiers. I cannot emphasize this enough. HTS are regular soldiers. They are disciplined and trained soldiers. The media shows you Syrian Democratic Forces fighters, which is backed by the USA. They are not well-organized or disciplined. They are ragtag guerrilla fighters. The HTS fighters look like the regular army fighters that they are. So when you see pictures of Syria now, and you see people with the big beards and the turbans on and stuff like that, that is American-backed fighters. Okay, if you see people that look like regular soldiers, that is HTS. Syria is going to demand its territory back from everyone. The United States under Biden is going to try and stay in Syria, and they will be fighting what they call terrorist forces. It does not matter who rules Syria. The USA will sanction them and attack them militarily. Even the people we paid to overthrow Assad, we will attack. What is next? Russia will keep its military bases in Tartus and Latakia on the Mediterranean course. It protects Israel from Syria from Israel. Israel will not bomb Russian bases.
No, they Iran won't, but they're rolling in there with tanks right now, Mitch. So what are they up to?
Yeah, the Golan Heights. Yes, they are. Iran will not have military bases in Syria for the opposite reason. Israel uses Iranian bases as an excuse to bomb Syria. That excuse will be gone. And they're using that now. Right now, the Israeli government says, oh, we're bombing Iranian bases in Syria. But they're gone. They're gone. The Iranians are gone. There's no excuse to bomb Syria over Iran at this point. Okay, future Israeli bombings will be considered illegal Israeli attacks on a sovereign nation, contrary to the UN Charter. U.S. troops will have to leave Syria, and the SCF and Kurds will have to join the new Syria or be attacked as separatist rebels and terrorists. The ultimate goal of the new Syria is to get back the Golan Heights. Sovereignty and territorial integrity is what Turkey, Russia, and Iran agreed on for Syria. So for some prophecy, well, let me get back. You understand? Let me get back to Turkey and NATO. Okay, so if Turkey left NATO and Israel and Greece attacked it, well, they're kind of open to attack. As long as they stay in NATO, Greece can't attack them and Israel cannot attack them because that would be attacking a NATO nation, which can't happen. Because all the rest of NATO would have to go on Turkey's side, right? So you see, being in NATO protects Turkey. Okay, it doesn't mean Turkey is on NATO's side. It just means that NATO has to be on their side, whether they like it or not. Okay, because they've had a continuous war with Greece forever. Okay, and the only thing that keeps anybody from intervening in that is both Greece and Turkey are NATO countries. Well, Israel is not a NATO country, and if they attack a NATO country, maybe the United States will not want to fight Israel. That is not true for all the NATO countries. There's a lot of NATO countries that do not like Israel. That, as a matter of fact, if Netanyahu showed up on their territory, they would arrest him on the ICC arrest warrant. Okay, so they don't feel the same that the American press makes us think they feel. So that's why it's important for Turkey to be in NATO. And, you know, you cannot be kicked out of NATO. You cannot be kicked out. You can leave NATO, but nobody, once you're in, nobody can kick you out. It's in the charter, the NATO charter. There is no provision for kicking the country out.
Kind of like the Supreme Court. All right.
Yeah, you're there forever.
Well, this is very interesting. I have a story now. I just got it. Let me see if I can get this to come up here. All right. Israeli tanks have crossed the Syria buffer zone boundary and have reached the outskirts of Damascus. Israeli tanks cross into buffer zone separating occupied Golan and now they're in Damascus. They're in the suburbs. What are they doing? This is a big deal. Israeli strikes Damascus and enters Syria buffer zone. Israel grabs land in Syria's Golan Heights. We knew that. That was yesterday. Israel seizes Syrian buffer zone and amid airstrikes on Assad's... whatever. He didn't have much of a military left. He's gone. Israeli army tanks 8 hours ago and armored vehicles crossed into the crossed the border fence line, marking the so-called Alpha Line and entering the buffer zone. Now they're supposedly through the buffer zone and in the suburbs of Damascus. You tell me if this is true. There's a bunch of material here on this. The Times of Israel. IDF deploys in Golan buffer with Syria, girding for post whatever. Anyhow, Israel's making a move on Syria. That's what it appears to be.
Oh, yeah, sure they are. Sure. They're taking advantage of this whole thing, okay?
Which is what they always do.
You know what? Let them go ahead and extend their forces.
Well, they had to pull them away from Lebanon and pull them away from West Bank and pull them away from Gaza to do this. They don't have that big of an army.
You've got to remember, they already have two divisions. Israel only has two divisions. You know, listen, the Free Syrian Army or the Syrian Democratic Forces, they may be paid by the United States, and they may be our proxy fighters there, but it's one thing for them to fight Assad. It's a different thing for them to fight for Israel. They will not do that. They will fight against Israel. But the Syrian Democratic Forces are sort of ragtag. I would not count them as a good military force. They can cause trouble for Israel, much like Hamas could. But they're not properly regular soldiers like the HTS is. And not only that, but guess what? Guess who's in charge there now? Somebody who will allow Turkish armored divisions to come south on S-5. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see how that develops, mm-hmm. okay? And if Turkish forces are headed south, guess what kind of air power can support them? Turkish air power is, F-16.
They have a major air force. Turks could end up fighting Israel. Is that what we're saying here?
If Turkey wants to fight Israel. They want to.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you see, if Israel just runs up to Damascus and stuff, this is Turkey's territory. You think Turkey's going to turn this over to Israel? There is no way they're going to do that. That's not what this is about. This mm-hmm. is about putting Turkey in charge of Syria. So Turkey is the backer. Turkey's fighting in Syria right now against U.S.-backed guerrillas. Okay?
Right.
How long would it take them to assemble some armored divisions and send them south? How long would it take them to get south? Okay? Well, let Israel show its hand, is what Turkey is thinking. Let Israel show its hand. They said at first, well, we have to go into the buffer zone because we don't want bad terrorists to take it over and attack us and stuff. And then they said, well, really, we need... Then the next couple of days, they said, oh, well, we really need to extend this buffer zone out further, okay, where they're kind of going out to farmlands and Syrian villages taking it over, okay? So, the Israelis are like this. They're incremental. They're like one day this, the next day it's a different story, the next day a different story. Now they're on the outskirts of Damascus. Well, I think there's probably some Turkish divisions getting ready, okay? Because Turkey wants this fight. Turkey has said for a year that they want
uh-huh.
this fight.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
And now Assad is not there to stop Turkey from marching south. And who's in charge in Damascus now? Their man, Al-Jalani, their man, is in charge.
That is
it's
Turkey's,
him that
that's
they're
Turkey's asset. All right, that's their guy.
Yes, right. So and Turkey's not going to ask the United States for permission to do this. So let me give you another perspective here, and this is for some prophecy, okay?
Right.
Because we're in the tribulation now. Does not seem so because it's like boiling a frog in water. We have accepted the tribulations of our time because of the Marxist strategy of the inevitability of gradualism. We slow walked into it. I am 71 years old. When I was a kid, there were still some Model Ts on the road. I traveled to town in one. This is very rural Kentucky, okay? I lived in places where the only transportation was walking or horseback. I'm very familiar with how to ride a horse and take care of horses. My kids have never been on one. I knew people when I was a kid that saw no cars or airplanes when they were kids. The first airliner I was on flew from Florida to Pittsburgh. It was propeller-driven, not a jet. This was when I was like in third grade. I knew relatives that spent a good part of their younger years without any electricity. My father never saw electricity until he was a teenager. Okay? It wasn't until I got older that we had air conditioning. I ate my first McDonald's in third grade in Florida. When I was 5 years old in Montana, TV only had one channel, and it was on from noon to 8 p.m. We listened to radio programs like The Shadow and stuff like that. This is a long time ago. We did not have color TV until I was a teenager. By then, there were three channels, but they all went off air at midnight. Now people can scroll on their cell phones into Armageddon. Is this not worshiping the beast? I'm serious about that, people.
That's true.
I can tell you how technology has accelerated.
Yep.
When I went in the Army in 1971, I never had body armor or night vision scopes. The only thing between me and a bullet was some green cotton cloth.
Wow.
I can tell how crime, violence, and immorality have intensified. When I was young, life was boring. What just happened in Syria is a major step on the road to Armageddon. You see, Erdogan wanted to send armored divisions down Highway 5 through Syria to the Golan Heights. From the Golan Heights, you can drive down Israel's Highway 65 to Highway 66 that runs through the Valley of Megiddo, Armageddon. So going east to west in Armageddon is Highway 66. Okay. But Assad would not talk to Erdogan, let alone let him send armored divisions through Syria. But Abu Muhammad al-Jolani will let Erdogan do that. Do you know what Jolani means? It means Golan, as in the Golan Heights. This is very much on the HTH leader's mind. He took Golan as his nom de guerre, his war name.
Yeah. Interesting.
Israel probably does not realize it, but the Syrian civil war was just a step on the road to their destruction. So who will lose, according to prophecy? The whore of Babylon. Who is that? According to Isaiah, what distinguishes the whore of Babylon is that she imposed her worldview upon all the people she controlled. The specific worldview in Revelation 17 is holding a cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. Remember the New York Times on April 12, 2024, said that we must go to war with Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea because they are patriarchies and do not support women's rights or gay rights. Women's rights means the right to sexual promiscuity and to murder their babies. Are we not exactly what Revelation is talking about? Revelation 18 says, "For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornications. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants have become rich of her abundance of her luxury. The U.S. and her allies will be made desolate." This is something you can prepare for, people. Nuclear war and destruction are certain, not just a possibility. With the fall of Damascus, everything is now ready to go. Okay. And that's just prophecy. I realize not everybody listening is religious, and that's fine. I'm just saying this for those who are, okay? I'm just adding that in there. So this is where we're at.
Okay. The role of Israel in the coming days, are they going to be blatant and open about trying to take Damascus and insert a Jewish regime there? What are they going to do?
Well,
how far will they go?
They're not going to be open about it, you know. I mean, they always make stupid excuses. Like when they say, oh, well, we're bombing chemical weapons storehouses.
Yes.
There's no such thing, okay? When they're bombing Hezbollah in Iranian military bases, if you followed the news for the past 5 days or so, they've all gone home. There are none there, okay? They're gone. The only military bases remaining in Syria are Russian military bases.
So they've blown all the rest of them, all the pieces.
And HTS doesn't want them to go. For one, they pay money. For two, they protect Syria from Israel. Okay, Israel will not bomb Russian bases because that brings Russia into the war directly.
But it looks like Syria is in the target sites of Israel. I don't know how. I'm trying to think of another way to look at this. I don't have any. I think they've already bombed. Remember, they bombed a bunch of the HTS, I think, and Al Qaeda and others. They've tried to kill them all. Right? They're out training away from the cities. They have camps out there in the hinterlands, so to speak.
Israel just genocides people. They kill Arabs.
That's what they do.
They'll kill you.
No, and they'll kill civilians too.
This is what they say
too.
All the time.
Yeah,
they kill civilians. They kill everything. Okay, I mean, let's just face it. They're genocidal ethnic cleansing, criminal, yes. war criminal nation.
Okay? No, they're psychopaths.
They're violating international law. What reason do they have to invade Syria right now? What possible legal
Greater
reason
Israel.
Do they have to invade
Greater
Syria?
Israel. That's the only one. Greater
yeah.
Israel.
I mean, they don't have, that's not a legitimate reason. That,
no,
that is an illegal reason.
No. Okay. Of course it is.
But they have
what,
no they,
what do they do that isn't legal? Excuse me, isn't illegal? What do they do that's
well,
legal?
Nothing.
They, I can't
they
think of
are,
anything.
They have impunity. See, they can do whatever they want because
right.
America gives them impunity.
Yes, it does. We know. We are their ticket to ride. They can do whatever they want.
Yes, yes. With the United, without the United States, there is no Israel. Listen, Israel is the problem with the world. It is Israel that takes peace from the world. They're like a thorn in the flesh of the earth. Okay, but the only way that this thorn can be removed is the United States, because without the
no,
United
Mitchell,
States, there is no Israel.
Mitchell okay? is not
so
exaggerating.
So you understand why the people
in
of the world
here.
Have to attack America, because we are the supporters of the evil. And that's why
You're
I said last
right.
time,
yes.
Donald Trump can bring world peace. He can bring world peace because it's America that brings war and suffering and death to the world. So if America is the one bringing the war and the death and the suffering to the world, then the American president can actually stop it all. So Donald
but at
Trump
what cost,
does
what
have
cost
the power
to himself?
To bring peace
He'll kill him.
To the world.
They'll kill him, Mitch, if he gets in the way. You know that. The Zionists will kill him.
Well,
just get rid
well,
of him.
Sure. Sure.
So does Trump want to go
well,
down in history as
you know,
a truly great American and die? Is that what he wants? Probably not.
No, well,
he should.
He could become the most famous man in the world by bringing
he
world
could.
Peace.
Yes.
Okay, but I want you to think about what I'm saying now. He has the power to bring world peace, to become the most famous man in world history.
That's true.
And who does this describe? The Antichrist.
Well said.
Because what does the Antichrist do to become the world ruler? He brings peace to the world. All Trump has to do is wake up one morning, realize the truth about who's bringing all the suffering and misery to the world, and he can end it. And he will be the most popular man in world history.
That's
he will
true.
Produce a miracle.
Yes.
He can do it. He has the power. Donald Trump at this moment does not know he has the power to do that. But what if he wakes up one morning and he says, hey, yeah, we're the guys who are making all the trouble. We can stop it right now. What if he wakes up one morning and realizes that? What if his advisors tell him the truth about things? What if he starts digging into the CIA and finding out that we are the bad guys? We are starting all the trouble.
Well, if he doesn't know that by now, 78 years of age, I'm not optimistic. They'll probably plan a one-way trip to Dealey Plaza for him. Come on. They're not
going to
put up with anything.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing is that I'm of two minds. Listen, I would like the world to be peace. I would like to see my grandchildren grow up. I'd like to see my friends live healthy and happy and stuff like that. But you know what? That's not what's in the cards. What's in the cards is Armageddon. And Armageddon is going to happen. Armageddon is not a choice. This isn't like Jonah and Nineveh where we can warn the leaders that, hey, you're going to go to hell unless you get everything straightened away. This is certainly going to happen. We're too far gone. Look at all the abortions committed in America. Look at all the filth that Hollywood puts out. This what you see coming out of Hollywood is demonic. And we are conquering nations in the world so that we can market this filth to their people. Okay.
Correct.
We are pushing sodomy at the tip of a bayonet across the face of the earth. Okay. I mean, this is when I was talking about we're in the tribulation, I'm trying to describe we are evil. And we are demonic, okay? Not you, the people I'm talking to, but the people that run this world. The people that run this world are trash, okay? They're bad. There's nothing we can do about them. So the only thing that can be done is nature maybe has to just run its course, and we have to go through Armageddon. What I would like everybody to do is store up, prepare, get ready, do your best, try to make it through. Because when it's all over, the world's going to be a much better place.
Well said. All right. I look forward to that. Thank you for that, Mitch. Very helpful. This is it's a rather complex, but not that terribly complex situation. We'll know more by, the next few days as to where this is going. Next week when you're back, we'll have a much better handle on where it's actually going to end up. We'll see.
Sure. It's going to develop. Listen, even if Turkey, Iran, and Russia make these plans, there's nothing that guarantees that they're going to work out the way they want to. Even if Israel and the United States makes their evil plans, there's no guarantee that their plans are going to work out either.
True. So. All right. Okay, my friend, thank you. Well done, as always.
Okay, you're welcome.
We'll talk soon.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, Mitch. Mitchell Henderson. All right, that's our program for Monday. Off and running. Another crazy week. We'll keep track of it for you and be back in 21 hours. Talk to you then.